Hey, hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio 1188. This is Kevin DeFranco. On the other end is Chris Calamita. What is up, good sir?
Not a heck of a lot, Kevin. How about yourself?
Oh, well, we know that we're in store for a lot of weekend wrestling this week.
Oh, we
Both
are.
sh both shows that we're talking about both have either a PLE or a traditional pay-per-view here. We are going to start with the traditional pay-per-view. Did AEW do a good job of talking you into $50 or whatever the number is of your hard-earned money, Mr. Calamita?
I was already pretty much decided for my $39.99 on HBO Max. That I was gonna get this pay-per-view, yes. And yeah, it's weird because you really liked it. Jeremy did not. I guess I'm in the middle of it.
Oh.
Could have been better. Could have been a lot worse. I'm just so not a fan of this portrayal of Will Ospreay.
That is the worst part of it, is that it really it felt like the main event of your main show was kind of relegated to almost the least important angle on the show.
Yeah, no Kenny. I mean, they did a video later, so that which was fine.
Yeah,
So
I mean,
sometimes
they
maybe you'd.
legitimately bookended the show, you know, like
Yeah.
the beginning of it was Will Ospreay being out there doing his thing, and then the end was their video package. So I mean, you can't say they didn't hype it, but oh man, just it lacked something, not having a fresh take from Omega one way or the other, you know,
No,
like
yes, exactly. Yes, it did. And with
even if
Vince,
he
that's
had
really.
popped up with a new couple of lines in the video package that they did at the end of the
Yeah.
night, I think that would have sufficed, but it didn't happen.
No, it did not happen. And we followed the heel turn angle last week with basically nothing. This Will Ospreay whining character that he's become. As was supposed to be your new top baby face, I'm not getting this at all. Like, who wants to hear this guy whine and complain about his past, trying to create a hard luck story out of nothing, essentially? Like, my understanding of, and maybe I'm not the biggest expert on Will Ospreay's entire career, but it feels like from the British Indies to New Japan to AEW. He's always been a golden boy.
I would agree with that sentiment. Like, I, 'cause it, not that I would have obviously known him on the British scene. I do think, though, that there was enough awareness, you know, globally of things at that
Yeah.
point, that I do remember hearing the name probably before he got
Yeah.
to New Japan, but I
Yeah, because
remember
there were.
him being, you know, the beginnings of, you know, him in New Japan was when I was watching.
Yeah. Because one of the things that there was that one match he had with Ricochet that went viral because they just spent like the first like 2 or 3 minutes just doing flips around. And
Oh,
yeah.
yes.
And a lot of people had some bad opinions about that. And then later in the British indie
Yes.
scene, there was that weird match Will Ospreay got into with Vader, which is an insane thing to think about. That match that actually happened. It's like so the guy has had like that's why I said in our chat, I'm like, oh, what is he gonna complain about jobbing to Vader now again? What is your hard luck story? I mean, I guess in recent times there was the neck injury, but well, if you want to compare battle scars and injuries and illnesses, Kenny Omega pretty much has as Will Ospreay trumped on that thing. That man almost died.
Yeah, it's really strange what they've done. Like, I really liked the lead up to this character change for Will Ospreay. Like, I liked what they had done with why was I almost going to call them the Dead Wrestling Society, the Death Riders.
Yes.
I thought that they kind of started to work in some good change and make him a little bit more of a hard ass.
Yeah.
Especially in the way he worked. And I thought it was transitioning to the mic where he was a little more Jon Moxley, let's say, than what he's turned into. And yeah, like it, somewhere between that point and now, things have gone drastically awry. Because yeah,
Because
and it's, I guess it's when they really tried to position him as the baby face. Like, it's been so weird this whole time, I guess.
it's been weird, and again, they just
Even
86
weirder than the
the
Kenny stuff.
right, yeah, they 86 the Death Rider stuff very quickly. There was no blow off to any of that because Ospreay has just spent the last 3 or 4 weeks doing nothing but wrestling members for of the Don Callis family for the millionth time. Because
Oh,
God forbid
right.
Don Callis isn't involved in every single every segment on this fucking show in some capacity.
Yes, that is the one thing. Though they I feel like generally overall AEW did a good job hyping things. There are a lot of things to complain about Dynamite though still, if one would want
Yeah,
to.
and we'll kind of go
Don
on to, and it's
Callis
kind of,
family being involved at all times is
oh yeah, it's
a
very common,
never-ending
yes.
dead horse problem around these
Yeah, I mean
parts.
it starts right from the opening match, even though Don Callis doesn't even walk. D Don Callis doesn't even walk to the ring anymore with the lower half of his of his family for this trios match with the weird team of Adam Copeland and the Young Bucks, which we're still doing this thing where they're trying to team together and be friendly, and doing miscommunication spots in the middle of a tag match when the match is Sunday. Like I don't really get that.
Yeah, it's been a really strange build for this in a number of ways.
I mean, the whole. I brought it up. I mean, I brought it up in our. I mean, in our. I brought it up. I brought it up in a group text. For God's sakes. But this whole Cope and Christian reunion has not been all it was cracked up to be. Mostly because Christian is still playing his asshole character, so they're not. It's not a nostalgia act. They're not doing any of their old shtick. So they're just two old guys out there taking up
Yeah,
space.
it's really weird that just because and I was complaining about that from the angle of they're talking about Edge and Christian being the tag team of their generation. And I'm just like, guys, they're at least behind the Hardys and the Dudleys, so let's cool that talk. A lot bit.
Yeah.
And they just, and part of the reason was they just weren't a team as long as those other two.
No, they definitely weren't.
So, and like you said, on top of it, they're playing different characters and they haven't found a common ground in AEW yet, other than Edge just kind of going, I mean, what am I supposed to do? Like, I guess he's a known asshole now, so like I've got to let this slide. Like, Edge just kind of does this shrug of the shoulders, like, yeah, I'm sorry. Like, but then he defends him in the end too, which is always a little bit strange. Like,
Yeah.
I feel like there should have been some connection between those two at some point. And there hasn't been at all. Like, it's just like they
No.
have two separate guys holding the tag team belts, and it's really weird.
Yeah, it is really weird. It does affect, because trying to make this a dream match, it loses that luster if Edge and Christian aren't being Edge and Christian.
Yes. Yeah, I mean,
Now, that was a long
it
fucking
just
time ago, and they're both in their 50s, and it's
yeah,
you
and
need
they
to.
have not been tech, 'cause I mean, I think we had already talked about it. They how long it had been? Like it had been like 15 years or something crazy like that they hadn't been a tag team, or maybe longer.
A lot, that's a lot longer. I mean, they had a very brief reunion in the time before, right before Edge's and Edge was put on the shelf. Otherwise,
Okay.
they hadn't teamed regularly in probably 25 years, in 25 years from now.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, like, yeah, just this comeback, like you said, just has not been all it's cracked up to be. Like, it looks good on paper. It just has really not
Yeah.
translated to TV at all. Because, like you
Right.
said, they're
Yeah.
not doing the old shtick. They're not funny together. Because I guess that's the other thing. Like, maybe Christian gets one good line off or something. Edge is just not really doing anything for me. Like, other than taking up space.
No,
Like,
he has
he's
been
not
taking up
stinking
space
up
for.
the joint, but he's just not providing anything either.
No, he has not provided very. He's provided very little on this run. It's going on 3 years now. And yes, there was injury time off there for him as well. But yeah, it's not. This has not been a good run for him. And I'm almost laughing at them thinking that, because I think, what is it? Their October pay-per-view or whatever that's going to be in Toronto? Or is that right?
I believe so.
So they're gonna do the retirement, and it's like, how many times in my life I've said goodbye to this man more than anyone else in my life.
Yeah, this is he's almost Ric Flairian in how many times he has retired, never to come back again, only to come back again.
Just how many times did they bust out? It was Hall of Fame, or it's Edge Appreciation Night. It's like, what? How often are we? There was that last night on SmackDown, that SmackDown against Sheamus, where it's like they let him bring his family to the ring and his teary eyes, and then like 2 weeks later, he's debuting for AEW.
With the same music.
The same music, the same entrance, the same entrance taunt, everything the same. Yeah, it's. Again, this has not been a good run. He has not fit well in this company at all. It has been square peg, round hole this whole time. And you know, Christian did have something a little for a little bit with his asshole character, but then it also fairly quickly got more long in the tooth, so it didn't really.
Well, and it stopped fitting him because everyone was cheering, you know, like people were
Yeah.
just expecting the worst in a lot of ways. It's one of those things where it's just like the shtick was so popular, it was over, so it just changes the shtick.
Yeah.
So, but hey. That is at least part of my argument. Is dumb as all of that was, did hype a match for the pay-per-view.
Yes, it did. It did.
Oh yeah, one match that I'm kind of interested in this one. We can do. Do we want to do a least important to most important as far as the pay-per-view goes here, rather than kind of just breaking down Dynamite itself?
We could do that, sure.
Because at least for A, I couldn't believe it. My heart leapt a little bit when I came to look at this pay-per-view and only saw 9 matches. The fact that it was under double digits made my heart weep a little bit, that maybe AEW has learned something. And it was kind of interesting. And just because this has mainly been a Collision thing, and I have watched Collision the last couple of weeks here, I'm not surprised that at least on Wikipedia, this is listed as the pre-match match here. The Casino Trios Royal Roulette for the Trios Championship.
I'm presuming this is like a more traditional style gauntlet where teams enter one at a time and get eliminated until there's only one left. So there's essentially six trios matches in one.
Yes, this is going to be ludicrously long if they want it to be.
Yes, it very well could be. Now you're the one seeing that it's the pre-show. I have not seen that it's the pre-show. Plus there's
One way or the other, this bad boy is chewing up time.
It is going to chew. Yes, it is going to chew up some time, and we're getting a wild card team, which people are thinking it is going to be Swerve Strickland with Austin Creed and Kofi. Interesting way to make their have them make their debut, if that's the case.
Yeah, everyone has had that speculation. Has there been any quote unquote confirmation out there on the interwebs that maybe I have missed? Because I don't feel like I've seen an
I don't.
official
Not, no,
they've
there's
signed
nothing
with
official.
them. So
Nope, nothing official. They want to keep it under wraps, I guess. If it's so, it is.
They have definitely had more than enough hints from Swerve that he's like, oh, you wouldn't have invite anybody. And, they've had enough hints out there that it does feel like it's going to happen. I was just wondering if there was a
Yeah.
confirmation.
But if they end up in the trio scene and win it, then that keeps them away from the Young Bucks for a little bit. I would imagine that they wouldn't just right go right. I would have thought that they wouldn't have waited, and they would just go right to the Young Bucks match.
Yeah, it is a little bit surprising, because it would be really wild for them to debut and not win in that match.
Yeah,
That's one
I
of
think
those,
they
like, what are
will.
we
I mean,
doing here? That
and if that's the if that is what's happening, they're not gonna waste that on the pre-show.
oh, that is fair enough. I would
Now,
say that is a solid argument for not pre-show material.
speaking of newly rumored matches that may or may not be on the pre-show. Supposedly, there's talk that there's going to be a big women's ladder match for the TBS Championship added to All In or put on the pre-show.
They are Whether I like it or not, or still have any idea about whether Maya World really has a character or not, I'm voting at this point she does not really have a character. They are behind her, one way or
Yep.
the other. They are really running with this shiny. Well, yeah, Tony Khan does love his shiny new toys. She
He does
qualifies.
love that.
So, I would not be surprised if they added a match for that for her onto this card.
Yeah, I could see it. Yeah.
Because yeah, I do like honestly, like I said, like I feel like I almost always see double digits, and going to a 10th match would not be the craziest thing I've seen on a
No, but
AEW pay-per-view.
when one of the well, that's right. Last year at All In, they did do two gauntlet, two of their casino gauntlets, a men's and a women's. And this year we're getting, as far as matches that could go multiple person matches that could go obscenely long, we're getting a casino gauntlet, this trio's gauntlet, and possibly a multi-woman ladder match.
Oh, man. Yeah, that is really jamming some people on your main card.
And only announcing two of those matches in the last few days. That's wild if that's what happened. Well, that is what's happening in one case, and the other match is only rumored, but it makes some sense that they would do something with Maya World since they've been pushing her so much and get some of the other women on the show since they're not doing the Casino Gauntlet thing for them.
Yeah, I mean the women at least do have two matches, but they could use a little additional representation
And not on
on
the
this card
pre-show,
here.
really. I mean, I wouldn't book a big ladder match and put it on the pre-show.
Yeah, I feel like ladder match you always gotta save, but hey, AEW has different thoughts than me more times than not. So.
Where are the Costco guys at? That's usually who gets the pre-show spot.
Oh yeah, I don't know what happened to Big Boom AJ here. He really should have a pre-show spot. I don't know. Must have been a conflict in schedules.
You got to get
Oh
that
man.
spot where you got to get that spot and where the heels tries to go after the Rizzler and Paul White has to stand up for him. They've done that like fifth, they've done that like 5 times now.
Oh, thankfully, I do not think I've actually watched one of those matches. I may have watched highlights of one of those matches. I have generally avoided them, though. So, if the Rizzler is getting harassed, great. I'm all for it. Oh man. So yeah, I don't know. Is there anything else to be said about the trios match? Do we need to run down the list of other teams?
Yes, please do. Because I don't remember it at all.
Before we, because I feel like we're both making the same prediction, which is Swerve, aka the wild card entrance, and what formerly was New Day is are going to capture these things, but. Yeah, champions are Hangman Adam Page and Brodito, which is Bandito and Brody King, the Bang Bang Gang, represented by Jay White, Austin Gunn, and Colton Gunn, the Conglomeration, Orange Cassidy, Kyle O'Reilly, and Roderick Strong, the Death Riders. The we all lost in our tournament team of Claudio Castagnoli, Pac, and Wheeler Yuta versus the Demand, Ricochet, Bishop Khan, and Toa Leona versus the Dogs, David Finlay, Clark Connors, and Gabe Kidd, and the wild card entrant. How long did that take me just to rattle off those
That's
names?
insane.
How
There are some
that
names in
just
there
took
that
up
have
a long time
and there are
just to
some names in
rattle
there
all
that
those.
there are some names that year to year have fallen off. Really fallen off. Hangman, I'm looking at you in the most.
Well, also looking at this point, I wasn't sure if it was official, but I feel like it's been official for a while now. Orange Cassidy has really lost the luster. And just is involved in trash at
They
this point.
and it's not him, it's them. They could have kept him going as TNT champion, defending the belt every week in good matches. They could still be doing that now. They'd be going on for like 3 years now. It would still be working if they didn't just beat the hell out of him over and over again.
Yeah, it's really wild what's happened to him. And honestly, even though Ricochet had a decent start, he's another one where he's lost shiny new toy
Oh, he does. Yes.
status and has really been relegated to like I said, I just because I've watched Collision, I feel like I've seen a lot of this trio stuff because most of Adam Page's comeback has just been on Collision.
Yeah.
Think there's like one Dynamite thrown in there and everything else has been on Collision. It's
Yeah.
just like, oof.
And we're really whoring out the whole Hangman Swerve story for some kind of a hook on this that people would actually care about.
Oh yeah, which has made that's the other reason why this whole tease has been so weird. It's just they really didn't have a beef with each other the last we had seen them confronting each other, so it seems really weird for Swerve to be back in the completely polar opposite place now that he's like really hates Hangman again. It's so.
He's a heel again because he had to turn heel in that he had to turn on heel on Kenny Omega and then lose their one match against each other and then the feud was over.
Just boy, yeah. I mean, I guess you could put Swerve in that category too, honestly.
Oh,
He
he's
hasn't
absolutely in
come.
the category of falling off. Yeah, he's falling off. I was talking about him too.
I guess I kind of forgot about it. It's just like, oh man, they keep on talking about him in reference to the championship, but he really has not been anywhere near it.
No, he's not a, he is not anywhere near it. No, that's
So, this is I believe the Casino Gauntlet match itself to kind of double. So yeah, we both made the prediction for the wild card, right? Swerve and
yes,
formerly
swerving
New
the
Day of
swerve
winning
and former
were
New Day,
aligned on that
yes.
one. And oh, I guess because we had already talked about it, Cage and Cope versus the Young Bucks, who ends up winning the match, so that
Young
we can
Bucks.
get those. Yeah,
Yeah. Right.
I figure the Young Bucks were recapturing things. Cage and Cope have they can have their own tag team feuds without championships involved, honestly.
Yeah.
So, despite all those problems mentioned earlier. Anywho, Andrade El Idolo versus MJF versus Tommaso Ciampa versus Mark Davis versus Chris Jericho. There are other TBA participants. I would think that this one, I feel like a number of these Casino Gauntlet matches when you want to be first. Because you can end the match at
Yes.
any time.
Yeah.
I feel like with the name power that they're having in this match, just with the five men mentioned here, that this one may end up lasting a bit longer than some in the past here.
It could. Although it would be funny if the match ended before Jericho went out there. That's the one that's not going to happen, I know. I'm assumed
Yeah.
everyone advertised is actually going to get in the match. There'll probably be some surprises, and one surprise I'm already thinking, what about the former Sheamus?
It's a possibility. I believe you showed us some proof that he is available for work.
He is available for work and using his real name, which I okay. It's kind of it's I don't think it there's a guy who like I don't think anyone ever showed any interest in what his real name was. He was just Sheamus his whole career, essentially.
It
Even on
fit
the
him.
Indies, even I think even on like the UK Indies, he was Sheamus O'Shaughnessy or whatever, and they just shortened it to Sheamus in WWE. No one ever
Oh,
cared what
yeah,
his real
you're
name
right. They
is.
just. Yeah, the name fit him too well to for him to
Yeah.
have a full like that was one where I'm not complaining. I used to joke about Vince chopping off last names left and right. I would agree with him on that one. O'Shaughnessy not necessary at all.
No, not necessary at all, no.
So yeah, kind of interesting that he didn't try to find some other singular name there to
Yeah.
go with rather than Just doing straight up real name. Straight up real name. And it's just like,
Yeah.
okay.
And
The
AEW doesn't
just.
exactly have a history of giving you a cool name either.
No, letting you name yourself is never a good idea. Like it's almost got to come from someone else. Almost got to come from someone else.
The rated R superstar Cope still haunts me.
Oh.
You see, because it has four
So...
letters, just like Edge.
it's an anagram for Edge. Oh, hold on. I've gone too far. Yeah, Cope is just still terrible. Just absolutely terrible. 'Cause what would he shorten his name to then? Far? Did he would no, he wouldn't just go with Lay. We're not gonna call him Steve, are we? Should we just call him Steve?
We should call him Steve. Steve with an exclamation point. That'd be great.
Steve with an exclamation point. Yep, that works. Off the off the list. Okay. Do you have a prediction for a winner? Just because, honestly, there is less to speculate on this match than the trios match, because they have at least spent some time on that one. This one. It feels like that just an Andrade and MJF story with other people
Yes, it is.
thrown in.
Oh yeah, that's absolutely what it is, and it wouldn't surprise me at all, because they love putting MJF in these kind of matches and having him win them.
Oh.
Even though there's absolutely no need for him to win this match.
Yeah, they Tony Khan does not always have the best judgment. And it does feel weird. Does Andrade still have a championship or no?
He has whatever the CMLL belt is, I think.
Oh, okay, but he's not like the national champion anymore. I feel like he had had an AEW belt there for a
I
second.
don't. I have no memory of any of
Uh,
that at
it's it it
all.
it yeah, it's not on the line, so I guess it doesn't matter. But yeah, I'm with
Yeah.
you. It feels like it's definitely down to one of those two for the winner. But I agree with your logic. They seem to favor MJF winning these things, even though he is more than qualified to be a number one contender without such a distinction. So yeah, I'll go with MJF too.
Yeah.
I guess going to some of these undercard championship matches here, and also moments I feel like they at least hyped here on Dynamite this week. Kyle Fletcher as the international champion is taking on Konosuke Takeshita and Kazuchika Okada. In a three-person match for the international championship here. Does
Yeah.
the championship stay in the Don Callis family, Christopher, in your opinion?
I don't know. I don't want to say I don't care, because I think this actually will be a good match. And
Yes.
yeah, I'm just
Yes,
trailing
it
off
will
here.
be. I think it w I like all three of these guys.
Yeah.
For the most part, Kyle Fletcher's kind of knocked off some of the stuff that was annoying me, so
He's a little bit
at least in the ring.
in the ring, yes. In the ring, yes. His character in promo work maybe needs a little bit more refinement. Otherwise, yeah,
But yeah,
he's
it's
perfectly good in the
improved.
ring,
It,
and
yep.
we have barely seen, I feel like we've barely seen Takeshita in this build. I think he showed up, was it once last week? Unless I missed some things on
Yes.
Collision.
Yeah. No, you did not really miss anything on Collision. I believe him just showing up the other week was the first time he's shown up. I think they might have said that he was coming back from the G1 or had other people coming back from the G1,
Yeah.
so you kind of Figured he'd be popping his head up sooner rather than later. But yeah, he hasn't really been around a lot for this. He's just kind of been a third wheel, for
Yeah, I
reasons.
mean, the story is, of course, Kyle Fletcher is under the impression that Okada is just going to help him win, and that's it. And Okada's like, we're just going to keep it. We're going to keep it in the family. It's all about the family. All mischievous like. Don Callis is trying to play both sides. I guess ultimately it would be poetic if Takeshita wins here.
Yeah. I obviously feel like the story is in Okada winning it, and then it does
Yeah, you're.
stay in the family. But I the other problem though too at this point, in some ways, breaking away from the family just doesn't do anything for you, because then you're just stained with the Don Callis family for the rest of your AEW career anyway.
Yeah, there's 17 people for Don Callis to throw at you every each and every damn week. Not including tag matches and repeats.
Oh man, yeah, it's rough going out there. Yeah, but I guess I do think that I'm going with Okada. Are you going with Takeshita then for the dub?
I'll go with Takeshita for the hell of it, yeah. Your point about what kind of does make sense, but I'll go with Takeshita.
Yeah, I mean, it does. It would be kind of funny to have Don Callis himself outwitted in the in the whole situation.
Yeah.
Since he was trying to put things in their odds, and he ends up screwing up the situation. Oof. Speaking of not being able to get away from the Don Callis family, next matchup, which I believe just got a video package on Dynamite here. Kevin Knight is the TNT champion. He is taking on Darby Allin. They had their big angle last week
Yes,
with
they did.
Darby
And it
Allin
would.
getting blown up, so he really should not have been on TV.
No, he should not be on TV. He should be in something kind of some kind of bandages or some kind of mask or something on Sunday. Again, this is going to be your Darby Allin stunt show match. This is your brawl, this is your hardcore match, this is your quasi death match type thing on this show.
Yeah, I mean, surprisingly, they don't have a whole lot of that slated.
Yeah, they
There
were being they're
no
being
real specific weapons matches on this card.
yeah, other than this. Yeah, so they're being more conservative with that. So that's no, that's that
Yeah.
can be a good thing sometimes. Yeah. So that this match will wonder of wonders,
Yeah.
this match will stand out on the card on a very long day.
Yeah, and I still feel like Kevin Knight is a shiny new toy. I am gonna go with a retention for Mr. Knight here, because I don't have a whole lot for this one. Like it should, like you said, like it should be an enjoyable spectacle of a
Yeah.
match.
Yeah, and you know what? I'll again the opposite of our last pay-per-view preview PLE preview show. I'm gonna go against you. I'm gonna say Darby Allin wins it. This is the blow off. The baby face should win the blow off.
Fair. That is fair. 'Cause yeah, this one kind of has been a longer running feud since Darby was champion. There's been a couple of short breaks in there, but it has been fairly long running. So fair enough to blow that one off at a major pay-per-view here. Next up on the docket here, Divine Dominion, Megan Bain and Lina Cross defending against the Brawling Birds, Alex Winza and Jamie Hayter. Do you think the English crowd is going to get this first W on the cards, sir?
I think so. I think yeah. It's they've done a good job with Divine Dominion, just destroying everyone. You with the Brawling Birds, you have a team that can somewhat believably take them on. You're gonna have a hot crowd for it. Yeah. And the Brawling Birds take the belts.
Yeah, it does feel like it's time. They've Megan Bain and Lina Cross have gotten a lot of collision time. They have given them a squash match after squash match after squash match, which is what you do with such a team, especially when you don't really have a women's tag team division. You know, because there is not a whole lot outside of these two teams that I can even, yeah, like there's no one that I can really name on their roster that's a tag. Oh, Sisters of Sin.
Yeah.
One other team that I can name. Outside of them, though, I think I'm genuinely at a loss after them. So yeah, not a terribly deep division, and it seems like you said, like the birds, at least physically, are not as dwarfed as much of the AEW roster is by Divine
No, they're not.
Dominion.
No, they're not. No.
So it seems
And
like
they've
a very good team to take the straps from Divine Dominion here.
Yeah. It's time.
So yeah, should be a solid match there, and yeah, I do think the English crowd is gonna get some enjoyment out of that one. Now the next matchup, I am not quite so sure that the English are gonna get the result that they want. Continental Cup Challenge Finals for the Continental Championship here. The champion John Moxley has made it to the final, so it is his championship to lose, really, here
It
in
is.
this one.
Yes, it is his.
He is taking on also home countryman Nigel McGuinness, who again they had the semifinals on Dynamite this week, so they were feeding right into the pay-per-view for
Yeah.
this matchup here.
Yeah, and they two good matches. And Nigel was They're doing the Cinderella story with Nigel, and
Oh,
it's
yes.
doing well. I'm sure it will get a good reaction from the crowd. These two should have a good match, but this is where the clock is going to strike midnight for the good people of England, and John Moxley is going to retain.
Yeah, I see no reason to give the Continental Championship to Nigel at this point. It's weird that he's doing this sometimes wrestler, sometimes announcer gimmick. You know, like even with Nick Aldis, you know, he hasn't gotten himself into any type of prolonged feud. He had one match. He's back to GM. That's that. You know what I mean? And Nigel, he's come back twice now on different occasions to wrestle, and it's just like, which one are you here? Or are we just busting him out for the English shows here? I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't think Jon Moxley had any natural opponents to think of. So I suppose this was a fair enough way to get him onto the all-in card. But yeah, I think we're unanimous on that one. Jon Moxley wins the Challenge Cup and retains his championship here. And then that leaves us with the big two matches here, sir. And I will go with the ladies match first. Willow Nightingale defends her AEW Women's Championship against Mercedes Moné. This one got a small feature on Dynamite with Mercedes Moné attacking Willow Nightingale and seemingly injuring her ahead of their matchup on Sunday here.
And it does appear the hand injury is legitimate. What Willow is going to compete.
Interesting.
Interesting wrinkle on this match. I mean, obviously they're trying to turn something unfortunate into the story of the match, since Willow was able to break her entire hand and get cleared immediately. Well, Bianca Belair breaks one finger or two fingers and is out for 2 years. And may never
I mean.
return. Still dealing with carpal tunnel and nerve damage
Oh gosh, she is. I've just seen the baby photos, so I have
It's a co
not
apparently it's
really
a part it's
seen
it can be a common
that
postpartum
news.
thing or something too. But that's on top of the other issues she has.
Oh, wow. Okay. That is some wild news. But yeah, Will, so okay, Willow has a legit injury going into this thing. And yeah, I guess I did not realize that was legit. I just figured it was going to be a storyline thing. Do you think it almost seems like they are playing Willow as the underdog even though she is the champion in this situation? Does the underdog beat the villain here, sir?
I think she does. I think that we're gonna get the retention here. Again, we talked about it all last week, how weird it is that after all this time, after over 2 years, Mercedes still hasn't been AEW Women's World Champion. But it doesn't feel right now. It doesn't feel like the time to cut Willow off. So yeah, I'm gonna predict Willow.
It has been a big problem this year with AEW where oh yeah, and I think this is what we mentioned, that they've cut off runs too soon over the past year
They have done that.
rather than at least having them run a decent length of time. You know, again, I feel like you can find some balance between everyone holding a championship for 3 years, and you know, changing it every other month.
Yeah,
So,
that absolutely. I agree. And I think I
and
did mention
yeah.
it last week that the story that made more sense for this match was Mercedes coming in as champion and Willow going for her first, world championship
No.
against the A champion on the A show instead of winning the title on a B show against the B champion, who was nowhere to be found, by the way, since she lost that belt. And we're in our home country. Where the hell is Thekla?
No, she's from Austria.
She's from Austria? I thought it was, or is it Australia?
No, Austria.
She doesn't sound Austrian.
Oh, she sounds very Austrian.
You sure? She doesn't sound like
That is
Gunther.
a yes, that is a very German accent that she has.
Oh, she is. How about that? I was not aware of that. Huh, how about that?
Yes, she definitely has I feel like Gunther, I don't know if he spent too much time in England or whatever. He has definitely gotten rid of some of the accent there. Yeah, I know by experience that sometimes you can get the accent beaten out of you. I definitely talk differently than when I was not living in Ohio. So, anywho, Willow Nightingale, Mercedes. Should be a good match. I agree with you. I do think that Willow ends up retaining. It does not, especially with a segment like that. Like, it's always weird when the heel goes over and then wins the pay-per-view match. And Tony Khan isn't that weird most of the time. So Willow Nightingale for the dub here. And this one does seem like a foregone conclusion here. But saving the main event for last, I mean, we did kind of talk about the hype not being great for this match. Kenny Omega defending the AEW World Championship against Will Ospreay. Yeah, build not great. Everything just has turned out weird, whether it's Kenny's heel turn, Will Ospreay getting whiny. But they have definitely been driving at this match for quite some time at this juncture, and I have a hard time believing that the English crowd does not go home happy with a Will Ospreay W in this one.
No, there's no way he does not win. I'll go back and
So
say there's no way he's not winning this thing.
yeah, I feel like this is like the easiest prediction to make on the card. Like it's we have AEW has really contorted all of their storylines around this happening for the past several months since Ospreay's return. So yeah, this it seems like the foregone conclusion of all foregone conclusions. So is there anything else to say about All In before we move on to NXT Heat Wave, which, oh boy, it kind of has a long card itself here.
Let's well, no, there's definitely not anything more to say about AEW. We've gone over an hour. Let's speed run through this thing, through this dumpster fire.
I do feel like, much like I would say with AEW, they did kind of feature everything in here. We're gonna start from the bottom and go to the top on this Wikipedia entry here. Jada Parker versus Natty in a submission match, and I. Just talk about poor hype. Natty is just not good on the mic, even at this point.
She is not good at anything. I don't. This she is the most. I don't know if I've ever raised the word for it. It's just this praise she gets from everyone. It's so overdone. She has never had a single match that I remember. Just think about that. She's been doing this. It's been almost 20 years.
Yeah, and she's had some classic opponents, and honestly, some classic, in some ways, classic matches, especially in NXT's earlier days with the Four Horsewomen. I
You
feel
know
like
what? That
her and
one,
Charlotte Flair was a big
yes,
deal at the time.
that might be her best match. Yeah, that might be the match I most remember. If you've ever really put my mind on it, some stuff she did with Charlotte Flair is probably, and maybe even later on the main roster is probably the most prominent stuff she ever did.
Yeah, but overall, like, I feel like point is made, and I agree in that she's had however many years that she's been in the WWE, like 15 to 20 at this point, because she has been there a long time. And she's just had a handful of memorable matches, you know, at best. A handful, and it's just like, oh man, like that's isn't a great hit thing. Man, yeah, I just yeah, Total Divas turned me off to her, and I never got turned back on.
Same thing, exact same thing,
And
yeah.
that has been entirely too long ago now. Like that
Yes.
probably started in like 2010 or something silly like that.
Yeah.
Since we're gonna speed run through this, Natalia's terrible. So she's taking the submission L to Jada Parker here,
I
correct?
imagine that's what's going to happen here. Yes, that's absolutely what should happen here. There's no justification for putting Natty over here. Jada Parker already feels like someone kind of running in place still in NXT.
Yeah, it was even weirder that Natty's like, "Oh, you lost it on the mic." And it's just like there hasn't been any time for her to lose it. Like, what are we talking about here?
From someone who never
Oh my
had it.
gosh. From someone who never had it on the mic. It's just like, "Oh my gosh."
But you're not allowed to ever
Just
say that.
relax.
God forbid anyone ever question why Natty is not a low-key legend.
Again, if you have to name yourself, that is not a real nickname.
No.
You need to be bequeathed a nickname like that. That's why she's yeah, if you've got to give yourself that name, you don't really match it. First of two championship defenses for Miles Bourne. Next up on the card, him and Tavion Heights are taking on Brad Baylor and Ricky Smokes of the Vanity Project.
Oh,
I
God.
would imagine that Jackson Drake and Micah Lockwood will be at ringside for
Oh, goody,
Vanity
goody.
Project.
Oh, goody, goody. That just makes sense. Oh, yes. 2 Miles Bourne matches and 2 Vanity Project matches. Isn't this? There's a very good chance I'm never watching this show. Straight up. There's a very good chance I'm never watching this.
It definitely does not have as much draw as AEW. Like
It
again,
is
there are definitely
actually a walking advertisement for All In.
as much as I'm a little bit more on board for what's happening in NXT than you are. Like this one's just a tough sell. I don't love the double champ stuff. It's making Tate. If you're trying to make something of Tavion Heights, you're making him look like an even bigger dork than he already is. So I don't like it from that aspect of things. I just do not see much of a future, at least for Brad Baylor and Ricky Smokes. I have a different opinion on Jackson Drake.
They're
These two
all just
guys are
these.
just too,
I mean, I made the
these
point.
two are
Go
too small.
ahead. They're just too small. They are too, they are just too small. They're not impressive enough. They're not athletic enough. There's no. I mean, and then combine that with putting Micah Lockwood on WWE TV. WWE is going to get canceled. The things that are going to be said. They're going to be picked up by the microphone that the crowds are going to say to these people. I'll just leave it at
yeah, kind
that.
of
Their entire
that's
matches are going to have their entire matches are going to have to, are just going to have that bleeped out silence going through it. Because you cannot let those crowd chants anywhere near television.
man. Yep, I could imagine that there is a very good possibility of that. Since we're in the business of making predictions here, sir,
Oh dear God.
who are you picking for the tag team match? We will get to the singles match
Tag
momentarily
team.
here.
Do I have to?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Vanity Project. I don't care. It'll be a sweep for, you know what? I'll just say it'll be a sweep for Vanity Project. Fine.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that part, but I definitely think that the tag team gold is coming home. Like I feel I'm ho I hope maybe in some ways that they have been overplaying Tavion Heights need to keep these championships, and he uses it as an excuse to go heel.
Yeah.
And I kind of hope that's what ends up happening, either during or after this matchup. So that's why I'm going with Vanity Project for the dub. Either he just snaps because of it, or he ends up clocking Miles Bourne, and that ends up costing them the match.
Yeah,
Or, oh,
fair
I
enough.
guess that's what that would make sense, actually, what you just said before that, which is Tavion ends up clocking Miles Bourne. The
Yeah.
matchup is directly after one another, which would be completely silly. But I could still see them doing it. Yeah, Miles Bourne versus Jackson Drake. I guess there could be a pre-injury for Miles Bourne, honestly, that ends up affecting this matchup, quote unquote. And Jackson Drake does bring all the gold to Vanity Project, or at least all the
Yep.
gold that they can carry for the most part. So yeah, I'm a little more sold on that angle now. Like I'm not sure why I didn't put two and two together, but yeah, that's a very real possibility that Vanity Project is draped in gold, and hey, they love those factions with gold in NXT.
They do love it. They love that. Yep.
Shawn Michaels staple there. So I guess we're both going to Jackson Drake then. Is that what we're here? We're agreeing down the line so far.
I guess so, yeah.
I wish this was we were putting this up on YouTube just for that reaction.
Just
Oh man.
like literally you're putting a show on free TV. It's like the alternate universe Clash of the Champions from the 1980s. It's actually causing more people to want to buy the favorite that they have to pay 40 or $50 for, depending on what provider they use.
Oh man. Yeah,
This
this
is
one
how
could
bad this show
definitely
is. This is how bad NXT has gotten. NXT
this
TV is the greatest, is the best advertisement for All In.
One of the matches that got weird here. It felt like they had a decent story between Zarya and Ren Sinclair.
Yeah.
They for reasons decided to add Callie Armstrong to this matchup.
Yes.
They are
Yes.
I mean, one thing I am happy about. Usually, when the WWE unifies belts, they actually get rid of one of them.
Yeah.
And I am completely okay if the speed belt goes bye-bye on a permanent
I
basis.
am very, very okay with that. And it is hilarious that it was either this week or last week, Ren Sinclair absolutely did point out Callie Armstrong said, so Zarya is putting a title on the line. Ren's putting a title on the line. Callie Armstrong gets to enter a unification match with nothing. She has not everything to gain and nothing to lose. This makes no sense. And Callie Armstrong has not done enough to in my from even from what I watch of NXT nowadays, I don't feel like Callie Armstrong has done enough to put herself into the situation.
No, it's really weird why they've thrown her in there. Like, as soon as I saw the match on NXT this week, I'm like, oh, Callie's, you know, or they might have started the angle last week. I feel like there's some type of confrontation that kind of led to the matchup last week. But I guess as soon as they made the matchup and mentioned it being non-title, but she could get into the match, just like, well, why else would you have this match, you know? Other than to let the person in. So it felt like you knew that they were opening this door, and it It's really weird just because Sinclair and Zarya had a good confrontation backstage. And yeah, you just have the unification match, and that's that. You know, like Callie really has not been on TV that much. And to me, Heat Wave is not like a big enough event for you to like. You know, I gave AEW a pass for trying to jam people onto the All In card. It's their big show. I understand it. Heat Wave, it doesn't feel like anybody needs to be jammed onto this
Yeah,
card.
it's not her time right now, and that's just it. It's just you they actually
Yeah,
the
have her be the next
it
challenger to
yeah
the
that,
North
that that
American
whatever that's fine
Championship,
yeah
which is
fine we
fine.
actually had a decent story going with Zarya and Ren Sinclair, and you've muddied it up now.
Yeah. So, yeah, not a great turn of events on NXT programming this week. Even if I could see it coming. Do you have a prediction for this one, sir? Who ends up coming out of this with what I'm
Well,
assuming is going to be the North American Championship?
let's see. I don't think it'll be Callie, although why is she in the match? Zarya. You know what? They keep still talking about how Ren Sinclair is in her home state of Texas. What city? I have no idea. Texas is gigantic.
Yeah, there's a lot
That
of
matters,
cities
actually.
in
But yes.
and like you said, Texas also gigantic, and it feels like there's a lot of different sized cities that you
But it
can be
also
from
feels like we're
in this.
setting up for Ren Sinclair's turn on Kendall Gray as well. So, you know what? I'll predict Zarya. I've taken too long already to I give this too much of my time already.
Oh yeah, I would love for Ren Sinclair to win it. I don't think she's going to though.
Yeah.
It does seem like a
Just
weird time to have Cavalier Armstrong win it.
yeah.
That has not prevented NXT from doing anything
Right.
recently.
And I'll say and I'll say I want Brent Sinclair to win. I like her as a baby face. She's a pretty natural baby face, and her friendship with Kendall Gray seems like it's kind of cute and sweet. It's nice to see. You don't need to break them up.
Oh, yeah,
That
because
feels like
they've
that's where we're
also
going.
had a yeah, they've had a healthy balance of personality in that, where Ren has helped her loosen Kendall to loosen up, and Kendall's helped her to be more serious from time to time, and yeah, I think they have a good dynamic that like you, I don't feel like they need to break up. And they definitely don't need to, you know, have a feud just because that's what you do. Yeah, I too, though, I'm with you, less of a long explanation, but I'm going with Zarya, ends up, retaining, just, because, I feel like they've invested enough in her that she still deserves one more big win before. Dropping this thing.
Yeah, I agree.
So, speaking of the Ren QCC, next to the last match listed in the old wiki here, Kendall Gray defending her NXT tag team or tag team, jeez, women's championship against Kalani Jordan. Boy, this one is a little bit weird to me, in that I also feel like Kendall Gray has been the champion for a not long enough time
No, this is.
here. And Kalani Jordan still has nothing to prove to me, but it is going to be a weird situation if she never ends up winning the women's championship in NXT
Yeah.
for the amount of
No.
time that she spent down there, I
Yeah, and
suppose.
this is the first time she's ever been getting a crack at it, which they've mentioned over and over again. But no, it's not. It's not time for Kendall Gray to lose at all. She's gonna, yeah. Kendall Gray retains. I don't have much more to say about this. Yeah, Kalani Jordan's in a again, none of those people in one of the few remaining, NXT veterans left, and it feels like her time has come up. But I also don't know exactly where she fits on the main roster either.
Yeah, it's kind of wild. She's the Tony D'Angelo of the women's division.
Yes.
Been there too long at this point, but yeah, I don't know where you slot her in on the main roster, given that some of the other NXT women that have been called up have not been able to find a slot on the main roster either. So that leaves us with the last match. Fatal four way, Tony D'Angelo defending his men's NXT championship against Grayson Waller, Cruz Montana, and Zilla Fatu. Oh wow, this is a wild one. And what we have two championship changes. Two retentions. And I suppose this is the tiebreaker. And will there be more retentions or will there be more championship changes here? I'm
Well,
kind
we've
of
spent a lot of
leaning.
time. Go ahead.
I feel like I'm leaning towards a championship change.
I am too. But who do you think it's
Which
going to be?
I think that's the million-dollar question. And honestly, I think it's more of a two-man race. Grayson Waller, despite enjoying his promo work still, like I guess I never really had a problem with it. And it was kind of wild to me that the man added some muscle mass and still couldn't get a lot of traction. He may be in that too small category, even with the
He,
additional muscle mass, honestly.
yeah, he's he's just a naturally lanky guy. It's not going to change for him. And
So, yeah, I he is off my list. Like I don't see him winning the championship.
well, I mean, it is for the NXT championship, not the WWE championship.
Yeah, I guess I don't see him winning it in this match. They could go that route, but I guess I'm going through my process of elimination for this one. And to me, Waller is not the guy in this matchup. To me, it's more
But the way
between
he's been talking, all his big talk, he kind of almost has to be, in my opinion. So that's why I'm going to pick him.
That is a fair point. And this type of match always lends itself to underhanded tactics. And he has definitely used his fair share over the years. Not that they've really featured him recently, but he is not shy about cheating.
Right. No, he is not. And it's God, why am I having a hard time saying it? Zilla Fatu, I think it's already being thought that he's not going to spend a lot of time in NXT. He'll be on TV. He'll be on TV with the blood game, the bloodline, possibly by War Games. Is what I'm thinking. Maybe five.
Yeah, that is a fair reason to not give him the championship. You know, like he does not anyone who is related to that family does not seem to spend a lot of time in NXT.
No.
Solo Sikoa didn't. The Tongans got to go straight to the main roster.
Yeah. Even Tongaloa, for God's sakes. Tala Tonga, what, like less than 10 whole matches or something, and got put on the main roster? I don't think that. I don't know if that's true, but Don't like it.
It wasn't very many. And I'm trying to think of, oh yeah, Jacob Fatu just had a cup of coffee in NXT also. Or no,
Think
was he
he
straight
no
to the
he
main
never did.
roster?
He was straight to main roster, yeah.
Oh jeez. Okay. So yeah. Zilla Fatu, one of the few Samoans needing to cook a little bit in NXT. That is kind of wild, honestly.
Well, if you think about it, Solo was probably there for a year.
Yeah,
We just
Solo
don't
was
he just
probably
didn't he just
there
didn't do
longer.
much. He just didn't do
Yeah,
much in NXT.
he was probably there longer than I think, and I'm not looking that up right now.
No, me neither, me neither.
Does not matter enough. So okay, yeah, fair enough take there. I guess to me then, Cruz Montana, they love the indie guy. I kind of feel like that guy's ceiling is NXT champion.
I don't even know if it's that. I've never been a fan of him as a single. I don't even know. Even for TNA, he was kind of below par for them to try to make a
No.
top baby face out of.
Yeah, I guess I've always kind of liked him. But yeah, I'm also not that super behind him either, you know? Like it's I haven't seen enough of the TNA work to really know one way or the other, and his story to me has almost already gotten old. Because he told it when he was in T, you know, as part of
Yeah.
TNA while he was on NXT TV previous to the name change. So, the story already feels a little bit old to me. It's just like, yeah, let's just get on with this. Like, I feel like you do need a change in character here. Move along. Oh boy. Yeah, and now that we talk about this more, the more Grayson Waller seems like a better choice.
Yeah.
I guess I'm gonna go with Mr. Montana though. Is my official choice before we punch on out of here.
Okay.
I guess nothing else to say about NXT. It
No, definitely
yeah,
not.
like you said. I feel like you've said enough at this point. The recent travels have brought a lot of different beers. I'm at least trying to switch up the breweries a little bit here. With the beer exchange with my brothers, this one comes out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Gristhouse Brewing Vitamin Dipa. So double IPA. This is 8% alcohol. And like most things from Gristhouse, this is absolutely delicious. Should one find themselves in Pittsburgh or the Pittsburgh region, they have a nice facility out in, I don't know if it's McDonald, Pennsylvania, but it's out in that area on the west side towards the airport in Pittsburgh. That they have a facility out there, and they have a fun little joint in downtown Pittsburgh too, in Millvale. One place or the other, go enjoy their beverages. They have trash taste in college football teams, but that's a whole different discussion. So, Belltime Beer suggestion from at DeFrango11. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Download us at other places like YouTube Music and iHeartRadio. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later.